So here we are on the final leg of our walk. This takes us back through Queen's Gardens and back to Queen Victoria Square. So you should now be standing outside Hepworth's Arcade in Silver Street. If you look across the street to your right, next to the entrance to Ye Olde White Hart, you will see 22 and 23 Silver Street, built in 1886 for the Exchange and Discount Bank. And next to that, in front of you, is Suffolk House, built in 1880. So, if you could now turn left, stay on the left, and walk towards the junction in front of you. The building you can see on your right, next to Suffolk House, is yet another one-time bank. Again, it's now a restaurant. This one had been the offices for both the Royal Bank of Scotland and NatWest, and was built in 1907. You should now be at the corner of Silver Street and Trinity House Lane, with the pedestrianised Whitefrey Gate in front of you. On the corner nearest you, on the left, we have yet another ex-bank. This time it's Barclays, built in 1891. The inside of all of these banks is worth a look, even if it's only to see how prestigious banks used to be. So now, if you can walk across Silver Street, you will enter the famous Land of Green Ginger. Please stay on the left-hand pavement, and you will come to one of Hull's most historic pubs, dating back to the 17th century, the George Hotel, and the smallest window in England. So if you walk towards the George Hotel, on the first stanchion you come to, just before the coaching entrance, you will see a brass plaque. And next to that, the smallest window in England. Can you see it? It is very narrow. The story goes that as guests approached the hotel courtyard, the boy, sat behind the window, would identify them and allow them in. Other accounts say that he was to look out for excise men, or even watch out for press gangs. I'll let you decide. Diagonally opposite the George, the building with the lanterns hanging either side of the entrance was originally the Imperial Chambers, built in 1879 as a meeting room and library for the whole branch of the Law Society. It's now a city centre bar. So now please double back on yourself and walk to the corner of Whitefrey Gate, and just wait a moment. There is no documentary evidence as to the origins of the name Land of Green Ginger. Some say it's a corruption of the name Lindegreen, after a Dutch family who lived in this area during the 1700s. Others say that it's named after the spice trade that was carried on in this part of the city. Whichever you prefer, you can take your pick. You should now be standing on the corner of Whitefrey Gate. Fortunately, this area avoided bomb damage during the Second World War, so we have, on the left of Whitefrey Gate, an almost complete row of Georgian buildings, right down to Queen Victoria Square. So if you could just walk down Whitefrey Gate, about 50 metres, and the first building you see is an impressive three-storey, 29-bay range of buildings. The centre 11 bays, with the triangular pediment above, was formerly Smith's Bank, and was set up by a partnership of Abel Smith of Nottingham and Thomas Thomson of Hull in 1784. It was originally based in what we now know as Wilberforce House. They moved to this site when it was completed in 1830. After a great deal of torment for the families, the Smiths Bank was finally absorbed into National Provincial Bank in 1947. The other parts of the building on either side of the bank were originally very elegant townhouses. Now, opposite Smith's Bank, on the right, you will be able to see, in contrast, a 1930s Art Deco-fronted building, which was originally Hull's branch of British Home Stores. If you would continue to walk down Whitefrey Gate until you reach the corner of Parliament Street. As you walk, you will pass the headquarters of two of Hull's most important charities. The first one you will pass is Hull for Heroes. It's there to support ex-members of the British Armed Forces in their transition back to civilian life. The second is Hull's People's Memorial Museum. It was set up to commemorate the contribution made by the people of Hull
both veterans and civilians in the two world wars. It's run solely by volunteers, and it's well worth a visit.
You should now see, on your right, on the corner of Parliament Street, a four-storey stone building with half cellars. This was HSBC Bank, built in 1879, and was the last of the old town banks when it closed its doors in 2017.
On the pavement in front of you, you should be able to see the fish trail image of a shark. Well, it's no coincidence that it was put close by a bank.
Now to the pièce de résistance of Whitefrigate. On your left, look above the shop, and you will see the magnificent one-time Neptune Inn, built in 1795, just a few years after Hull's first dock was built. It was designed by one George Pycock as part of the Trinity House policy to upgrade its Whitefrigate properties. I think the façade deserves a closer look. As you face the building, you will see a coaching arch with a keystone depicting the head of Neptune. And above that are seven bays with Venetian-style windows, and on the roof line is a pediment with a centre panel depicting the coat of arms of Trinity House. That's the inverted anchor you can see in the centre. The original idea of the inn was for people of substance who needed to travel between London and Scotland, or perhaps to York, would be safer travelling by sea, with a stop-off in Hull, rather than take the hazardous journey by coach with terrible roads and the possibility of highwaymen. However, they were having difficult times in Britain, having just lost the American colonies, and with the continuing war with France, the expected rents could not be met. And unfortunately, the inn did not prove a commercial success. Sadly, it closed in the early 1800s, and in 1815 it became Hull's Custom House, and remained its Custom House until 1912.
OK, so if you could now look to the left of the coaching arch, you will see, set in the wall, Hull's oldest postbox. It's worth having a look. You will see the VR above the letterbox.
So now, if you would please turn round with your back to the inn, you will see an almost complete Georgian street. It was built at the same time as the inn to create a direct link between it and the dock it was planned to service. An Act of Parliament was needed to acquire the land, and hence the name Parliament Street. In 1861, the Builder magazine described the street as a snug street full of attorneys, notaries, registrars and accountants. And as you will see as we walk down the street, not a great deal has changed. So, if you would please walk down Parliament Street, and on your left you will come to the exception to the Georgian frontages. The Edwardian police station, completed in 1904 in Baroque style. It was in use until the late 50s when the central police station was opened on the other side of Queen's Gardens.
And now that police station has closed and has been turned into luxury apartments.
It's believed that there are subterranean passages that run between here and the cells in the magistrates' court, which were then part of the Guildhall building. So, if you would now please continue walking down Parliament Street, keeping to the left, and we may just once again be moving into the late 1700s. I will meet up with you when you reach the other end of Parliament Street on Alfred Gilder Street.
I say, Oscar, what a dreadful journey we had to make from London to Hull by ship. Whose idea was that?
I think it was his lordship's, my lady. What with highway robbers and that, thought it safer.
I still think little of it. Where are we going now?
This is Parliament Street, my lady. We're off to York by coach from here.
What's that smell? Pass me my nosegay at once. Not that one, you fool. It's worse than the stink.
Sorry, my lady. Try this.
A little better. What's that hotel with overnight stay like, the one called the Neptune?
Dunno, my lady.
You know nothing. You're useless. I'll talk to his lordship about getting rid of you from serving.
Well, I'm pleased to see you made it through okay. I think it's fair to say that as well as the cost, there may well have been other issues that put the nobility off from using the Neptune Inn. You should now be back on Alfred Gelder Street, and from here you get some excellent views of the west end of the Guildhall and the wonderful statue of the goddess, shown at the bow of a ship, being drawn by seahorses. So please turn right and walk over Parliament Street, and you will see, in front of you, a light-controlled crossing. Please walk over to the crossing, but don't cross over just yet. Just before you go over the crossing, look behind you to your right, and you will see Burlington Tavern, a one-time dockside pub with a very interesting past. So please pause the guide at this point, and when the lights permit, please cross over the crossing, and once you're over there, please restart the guide again. You should now be on the north side of Alfred Gelder Street. So please now turn left and almost immediately turn right again, and you will be in Quay Street facing the Queen's Gardens. Please walk down Quay Street. As you walk, please look to your left and you will see Town Hall Chambers in Neo-Georgian style, built in 1902. But, I hear you cry, Hull doesn't have a town hall. No, but it did have, and it stood on your right, where the Guild Hall is now. As you walk, you will cross over Hanover Square and Guildhall Road. Once over Hanover Square, please pause a moment and look to your right. The artwork and gardens you can see is a memorial to those from Hull who fought and died with the International Brigade during the 1930s Spanish Civil War. The artwork is by Yorkshire artist Dan Jones, and is made from Spanish marble and steel from Catalonia. Okay, so now please cross over Guildhall Road. It's one way, so please look to your right. You should now be overlooking Queen's Gardens. Notice how the gardens are sunken. This, along with the street names, like Dock Street and Quay Street, give us a reminder of the old dock heritage around here. Okay, so if you could please pause the guide at this point. Sorry, I know it's a bit quickly after the last time. But if you could please turn right and walk along Guildhall Road with the gardens on your left until you reach the road ahead of you. It's about 150 metres and you will arrive at Wilberforce Drive and the end of the gardens. Once there, please restart the guide again. You should now be standing on Guildhall Road, with a set of steps and a ramp to your left. On your right, you will see Bond 8 and 9 warehouses, built around 1780 at the same time as the dock was opened. And to their left, as you look at them, was originally a warehouse built in 1881. Later, two stories were added and a conical roof. Notice the arch and porthole windows and the weather vane of a sailing ship on the top. And in front of you, to your left, we get a closer look of the magnificent statue of William Wilberforce. Remember, we saw him from a distance down Lowgate on stage 8 of the walk. We now go into the gardens, so please turn left and take either the ramp or the steps and make your way to the pond ahead of you. Please take care here and be sure to keep any children you have with you close by. Notice the sculpture overlooking the pond. It's by the renowned English modernist sculptor Robert Adams. The other wall panels you can see around the gardens are by Holborn artist Kenneth Carter. Okay, so please now turn left,
walk round the pond, and then take the first left and walk through an avenue of trees until you reach a large paved area. Now, here's a little riddle. Who sailed from Hull but never actually visited the city? I'll give you the answer in a few minutes. As we walk, let me tell you about one of Hull's great unsung heroes,
Ebenezer Cobb Morley. He is now recognised as the father of association football, and there is a blue plaque to that effect outside the FA headquarters at Lancaster Gate in London. He was born in 1831 in Garden Square in Hull, which is situated about where the Hull History Centre is now. He led a group of eight who, around 1863, formally codified the first laws of association football. He was the first honorary secretary of the FA, and his handwritten version of the first laws are on permanent display at the British Library. Quite a legacy, I think you'd agree.
Okay, so as you approach the square, I'll give you the answer to the riddle. You will see on your right, sat on a staging area, a plaque dedicated to Robinson Crusoe. And this is the answer to the riddle. According to Daniel Defoe's novel, Robinson Crusoe set sail from Hull in 1651 on his first ever sea voyage. So, of course, it's fictional. So, although he sailed from Hull, he never came here. Sorry about that. You should now be at the corner of the square. If you wish to take a closer look at the plaque and read what he had to say about Hull, then please stop the guide at this point and start it again when you get back here at the corner of the square. You should now be standing at the corner of the square with a large rectangular artwork in front of you. So if you could now please walk towards the artwork. It's officially entitled Hull Solar Light Sculpture, but it's better known locally as the Cheese Grater, and it really is worth a closer look. So if you could now please carry on walking, and with the Cheese Grater on your left, please walk towards and then up the ramp in front of you, and you will be in the fountain area of Queen's Gardens, better known as the Rose Bowl. And ahead of you, beyond the fountains, you will recognise the domes of the Maritime Museum. Once you reach the top of the ramp, please wait a moment. Let's hear what Hull poet Terry Ireland has to say about what it's like to come from this great city.
I come from Hull, pal. Shout it out loud. I come from Hull, pal. Hull born and Hull proud. And this city's struggled and it's juggled to escape from its past. And maybe, just maybe, there's daylight at last. We played our part in the Civil War. Even more, you could say we started it all, keeping King Charlie to the side of our wall. Willie Wilberforce was our MP. His home's now a museum for all to see. It's thanks to the moves he made, finally ended the vile slave trade. The BBC called us a northern coastal town during the war when the bombs rained down. The nation owes us for its favourite dish, 10,000 lives lost in providing cheap fish. For years we had two Super League teams, for a while we had Tigers with Premier League dreams. So I come from Hull. It's my hometown, and I'll fight for your right to talk it down. But that doesn't mean when you've had your say, I'll quietly let you walk away. Because I come from Hull, and we've had enough, and we're fighting back, and we're talking tough. The spirit of Hull rides inside, an overcoat of Yorkshire pride. I come from Hull, and I want you to know, we'll do all we can to make this city grow. For years just known as a place with the bridge to nowhere. But now it's working, and now we care. So I come from Hull, pal. Shout it out loud. I come from Hull, pal. Hull born and Hull proud.
Thanks, Terry. I hope you enjoyed that. You can hear more of Terry if you put Terry Ireland Poetry into YouTube. Okay, so now please turn left and walk around the fountain with the flower beds on your right. please look to your right, over the Rose Bowl Fountain, next to the Maritime Museum, and you will see a rather plain-looking, curved three-storey building. This is Dock Office Chambers.
Well, on the building's original plans in 1872, it was described simply as office and stables, etc., on behalf of the Hull Dock Company. And if you look carefully, you will see large arched doorways. These were, in fact, access to the stables behind for coaches and horses.
Keep walking around the fountain to the second set of traffic lights.
And when the lights permit, cross over what is Queen's Dock Avenue. And you'll be back to the Maritime Museum and the memorial we saw on stage one.
There's an interesting photograph of how Queen's Gardens used to look if you look on the Now and Then section on our website. So please pause the guide at this point, and when the lights permit, please cross over the crossing, and once you're over there, please restart the guide again. You should now have crossed over Queen's Dock Avenue, and you will see in front of you a pedestrianised street. This is New Cross Street.
Please walk down there and you will be back to Queen Victoria Square and the end of the whole heritage walk.
If you haven't already done so, this is your chance to visit the Ferns Art Gallery or one of the fascinating museums we passed as we took the walk.
And remember, they're all free of charge. Well, I do hope you've enjoyed your walk today.
And on behalf of the members of the whole heritage group, Tom Dealey, Liz Sowerby, Ray Stevens, Debbie Ralph, and me, Dave Todd,
may I thank you for downloading the guide,
putting up with our accents.
I would like to take the opportunity to thank photographer Rupert Rudd, singer-songwriter Tom Hall,
the poet Terry Ireland,
the Hull Daily Mail for use of their historic photographs, the BBC for the sound effects and clips. I'd also like to thank the Hull Heritage Players, who were in fact our friends and relatives we cajoled into action. Before I go, I'd just like to remind you there's lots more information on the places we've visited during the walk on our website, www.visithull.org.uk.
Also, please take time out to visit the box office under the City Hall, or the information pod in the Paragon Railway Interchange,
where you can find out lots more things that are happening in Hull today and for the rest of your visit. Once again, thank you for listening and enjoy the rest of your day. Goodbye.